Greetings, kindred witches. Welcome to the Atomic Hearth for this Sunday Haven.
Here we share our experiences as we build a modern-day inclusive witchcraft practice rooted in nature's seasons, celestial cycles, and the science of energy.
Join us as we build a practice that learns from our past, is rooted in our present, and works toward building a better future, all while connecting deeply to the earth and sky around us.
Let us begin a new era of witchcraft. Hi, everyone. Welcome to our grove here at the Atomic Hearth.
As always, we are so grateful for this community and for all of you for choosing to spend a portion of your day here with us.
We'd like to take a moment to acknowledge that we are currently here on the lands of the Coast Salish peoples, more specifically the Duwamish and Muckleshoot tribes. We want to take a moment here to honor the ancestors of the land on which we reside. Thank you.
Welcome to Atomic Witchcraft. In this episode, we are continuing our conversation about a fire-based witchcraft practice. In part one of fire witchery, we mentioned the many different flavors a fire-based practice may come in. And while we did a brief overview of each path before, we are going to really dig into some of them in a bit more depth during this episode. We fully admit that these are big subjects, and there is no way we'll be able to cover everything today. We have, however, divided the content into several easy-to-access episodes. A Burning Path, Charting the Celestial, Electric Current, Interconnected Web, Kinetic Flow, and Creator Craft.
Remember, when building a practice and knowing where to get started, the Sapling Firecraft provides a foundation, and each wheel turn builds on that foundation, adding more layers, expanding out to include additional elements, and adding skills ember by ember. This eventually culminates in what we call the Witch Wheel Turn.
In the sapling cycle, about which you can check out our sapling playlist for more specifics, we start with the basics of working with fire, covering color, sunlight, familiarity with the cosmos, and the basics of movement. In the fledgling cycle, the practice begins to spread and heat up. Fire cleansing, candle magic, efforts in creativity, and a deeper understanding of the stars and astrological cycles join in. In ember, we wield fire in banishing, in the energies of our foundational atomic sciences, in growing further in astronomical and astrological domains, and in crafting and charging sigils. In the river wheel turn, skills with campfires and more advanced worlds of kinetics, atomic science, and the stars and planets drive ever higher. And then as the wheel cycles into witch, it's about both specializing and mixing to find the right fire path for you.
Today, we're on the move. Diving into the magics of motion, we start with the fire in our kinetics and blood flow that power athletic skill. From there, we illuminate the strength and fortitude of a warrior's cunning and heart. And with grace and meaning, we swing through the power and art of dance. Kinetic flow showcases just a few unique paths of putting fiery energy into motion, namely the sports witch, warrior witch, and dance weaver.
When working with kinetic movement, it is perhaps one of the most potent and direct ways to connect, raise, and exert energy, quite literally. As we raise energy through moving, we can then immediately redirect it into spell or intent work. You know, for instance, connecting with the energy as we focus on the ball moving across the field, or mid-catch, or our limbs moving through space. These are moments when we can feel the connection between us and the energy that surrounds us, and then use that for our work. And as we get started today, I want to talk about accessibility. While today's episode focuses on the power of movement, I want to acknowledge that not everyone has full range of motion or the ability to participate in these crafts fully. I do want to encourage us as witches to think outside the box, though, and how these crafts can still manifest in various forms. Some that involve no movement at all. For instance, in my journey with chronic pain and partial disability, one of the most amazing things that I have learned involves the power of neuroscience and movement. Our minds are so powerful and have so much of an impact on our bodies that just imagining movement, such as dance, impacts the body in ways very much the same as actual dancing. So for those that perhaps can't engage with these crafts on the physical plane, I encourage you to take this work to the astral, where there are no limitations.
The sports witch leans into the gym, the court, the field, the track, or even the pool to build a practice rooted in the heat, energy of movement and blood flow. And those are two good levels to think of how this path is fueled by fire energy. First, kinetic energy is itself a generator of energy and heat. Warmth created through friction or motion is the root of some of the world's most important electricity generation methods. And the kinetic transfer of energy comes up in nearly every sport. It's the transfer that sends the baseball flying, launches the backspring, and fires the arrow to the target. Second, our cardiovascular and metabolic systems are powerful generators and utilizers of heat, allowing our bodies to do so many essential and important things. In this context, warm muscles and blood flowing are what enable the best quality deadlifts, tackles, and slap shots. And then there's a second dichotomy here in what a sports witch might prioritize. They might be using the energy and fire of their athletics to drive for advancement within their sport itself, or the sport might be the engine for generating energy that's then applied elsewhere. Think going for a great run or joining that after-work basketball group before bringing that heat and energy home to pour into your spell work. Just, you know, try not to drip sweat on your altar. Now, what magics you focus on here can take on a number of directions, very much customizing into your choice of sport or sports. Collar magic could influence your outfit or uniform. Your choice of music or song to amp you up or keep you in the zone might be essential. Even aroma magic could be a powerful tool and might dictate your choice of deodorant. On top of that, where your sports happen will be big too. If it's an outdoor sport, weather, wind, and sun magic could benefit you. And especially if it's in nature itself, like hiking or trail running or boating sports, the magics which root into the environment around you could be excellent levers to be working with. And then off the field, a visualization and meditation practice has long been a trusted technique for athletes of all stripes and backgrounds to rehearse and prepare for the shot or the jump or the turn in your mind. Now, I practice sports witchery in a couple of ways, but the most dominant the moment for me has been in weightlifting. Challenging myself to grow in strength and to develop my musculature has been a powerful and personal exploration area for me for the last 5 years or so. And as my practice has started and evolved in basically the same time frame, I've gained a familiar understanding of how I can both bring energy and build energy through this particular area of athletics that I really enjoy. And on that last note, I for sure do use it as an energy engine for the rest of my practice. When I'm actively in a good rhythm of lifting and progression, I've got energy and momentum powering into whatever else I need. If you've got a sport you love to play or practice, I highly recommend trying out combining it into your witchy world. At least for me personally, I've seen this develop both in unique and meaningful ways as I've connected the two of them more and more. As for tips and tricks here, I am not any kind of certified nutritionist or dietitian, but if you're trying to get the most out of your sporting life and related witchy working, make sure to fuel yourself properly to make that happen. Everyone's very unique in this realm, of course, but I know if I don't properly hydrate and eat enough quality protein, I am asking for a sore and unsatisfying result to a weightlifting program. Besides that, sports are often a great way to make friends and build community, so looking out for your local meetup groups or clubs could be a lovely way to get a habit going. Going solo, no matter the sport, can be tempting, since there's no coordination with others required, there's no discussion of your witchy side of things, but it can also be a little tough to stay motivated, or even risky, if, like in weightlifting, poor technique could lead to injury. That said, if you'd prefer a private sports witch practice, there's certainly a fair amount of good, or at least decent, advice on YouTube, and sometimes the most exciting goals to chase are beating your own recent personal best. So private's a fine way to go here too.
A quick note here as we get into the next section. As we cover the warrior witch path, be aware that we'll briefly touch on the concepts of harm and fighting. That said, we also cover nonviolent ways to follow the warrior witch's road.
A warrior witch's practice may live functionally close to the sports witch, with the motions and abilities of the body being a key element. That said, a warrior witch may also fight by not fighting, fueling a stance and practice focused on defiant strength. Or maybe the fight is an inner one. In either case, it's the inner fire that truly defines the power of this path. Considering the first side of these, this might drive from a profession or lifestyle of protecting and defending oneself or others, such as those who practice sports like boxing, wrestling, or martial arts, or go to work every day as a guard, soldier, or protector of some kind. In realms like these, channeling the power of fire will be a balance of two sides. On the one hand, kinetic energy and blood flow will power the training of specific skills. And yes, these skills might be designed to cause potential harm. Now, without exception, we at Atomic Witchcraft do not encourage violence, but it's true that in martial arts or boxing, or in the work of a bodyguard, harm may be used to win a match or resolve a threat. That said, that's why the other side here is so important. And that's to balance these skills with a fire of passion to uphold a mission, such as to unconditionally protect the defenseless, or to never use one's skills as an aggressor. The warrior with only the first is just a well-trained bully. The warrior with only the second is too ineffective to prevail, no matter how much they care. It's in the balance that a warrior is complete, with fire on both sides in two unique ways. Coming back to non-fighting, the fire of a warrior's path may instead fuel a dedication to peaceful non-compliance, or perhaps a path of someone who fights a war within, one of withstanding challenges of the body, mind, or soul. In any of these cases, it's the kindling and caring for an ever-lit flame of hope and strength where fire brings its power. And lastly, worth mentioning too is in the combining of air with this warrior witch path, in a practice powered by the playing of a warrior's instruments, or the overall use of sound and air here. The same balance of skills and passion may shape the music of the bagpiper or drummer, or in the voice in martial arts traditions that include a push of air or shout from the lungs to sharpen strikes and surprise opponents. A warrior witch should utilize any tools they can to develop their skills and deepen their sense of inner strength. Not dissimilar to the sports witch, the color of your attire or uniform may play a role here, and music and song as well. Even for personal battles, leveraging tools like these can shape emotion and galvanize the strength you're needing in that moment or day. When it comes to warriors with training rhythms and timing, solar and lunar cycles may meaningfully organize training into build-up and ease-off periods, creating another way of finding balance, this time between the intensity of training new or existing skills and reflecting on what those skills mean and what they're teaching you on a broader level. Now, for me personally, I relate to this path through my own personal experience of various fighting sports over the years, including a fairly deep amount of time spent studying with a particular Krav Maga community. Now, whether it was the walls and the mats of the gym, or the progressive belt levels and strips I was working through, color and environmental elements always played a large role in the energy I felt, and then carried outside the ring or gym to other sides of my life. What I really like about connecting my warrior-style activities with my witchcraft practice is also in my own personal For Others brand of a warrior witch. I've personally always carried a strong sense of equity and justice for all in my heart, and it is what drew me into trying these things out, so I could have the skills so I might be capable of protecting or defending myself or those in need for if or when those moments ever show up. Likely when I least expect them. Every minute I spent on my own skills and abilities was a minute spent investing in my own or someone else's safety, comfort, or freedom from harm. Now, with a much more developed witchy practice, I'm continuing to explore and develop and to build this warrior side of my life into my practice more and more. Now, if you're interested in getting started with your own warrior witch path and the more outer warrior methods interest you like they do me, then I recommend checking out the local martial arts gyms available to you and maybe trying out some drop-in or trial classes just to get a feel for which fits best for you. I've found that places which emphasize the mission and community sides to things are the ones to keep an eye out for. Certainly, there's nothing wrong with just wanting to get a great workout in, but if you're passionate about the for others idea here, like me, it's the places that care about that won't be shy or quiet about that being a priority. And on that note, as for practicing publicly or privately, you really can go either way here. Similar to the note for the sports switch, learning proper technique and staying motivated are going to be the big positives of joining a gym or a group here. Or, hey, you might end up meeting fellow karate witches out there. That said, solo study and practice of skills in this realm, in a mission you could believe in, can also be just your speed on your own, and a great way to stay focused, so that might work best for you too.
Warriors show up in so many ways, not just in physical expressions, but in emotional, cultural, and spiritual realms as well. A warrior's energy is pulled from the deep roots of the passion and fire in our gut. It taps into our primordial and animal instincts. It pulls on the needs to protect, act, and survive. I think of the everyday warriors facing impossible situations who still push through the day, who face the fear, who pull on that courage. And sometimes, to gain that courage, we must tap into the energy of the world around us. Yes, we may instantly think of movement here, but it's not limited to physical expression. In fact, I'm a strong believer that witch, as a manifestation, is a warrior, no matter what. The act of calling oneself a witch and embarking on this path, especially in a way that values right relations and inclusive community, is an act of defiance in our culture. Here, the warrior witch and activist witch take up residence along the same front line. Think outside the physical here. Tap into the warrior witch within.
The movement of a warrior witch is often described as a dance, but they aren't alone in dancing their path. Pulling on that same passion and energy for movement, a dance weaver uses this kinetic power to connect, conjure, and manifest with the energy of the spin, swing, a tap, a twist, a jump, maybe even a mashed potato.
Indeed, whatever moves you. The dance witch embraces this form of magic by using the power of kinetic motion to connect with and weave energy into their crafts. I think of the kinetic forms, this is one we find most naturally woven into what we know of witchcraft. Witches dancing under the moonlight is a common trope, and while not everyone does it, some of us, in fact, do, dancing can be deeply meditative and trance-like, putting our bodies in a state of flow that allows us to connect with and draw on the energy of our moving limbs through space and time. This practice is one that can actually be a potent source of energy in spells and rituals, and one that is a frequent flyer for me as a craft. I love dancing. Whether it is in my kitchen or in a ritual circle, whether solo or with others. There is something about dancing that puts me deeply in my body and wondrously connected outside my body at the same time, like twirling through stardust. I often will put a song on that creates the vibe of my intent or that helps me manifest that emotion in my body, and then use that as the energy building portion of my spell or ritual. It can also be a way to release, so sometimes I use the first half of the song as a buildup of energy and the second as the release. Kind of depends on the song and the way things feel musically, but you get the idea. You can also use dance as a way to make shapes with your body or with your movement patterns in the space. This lets you tie in things like sigil work and other shape-based tools. Getting started here is as simple as putting on some music that is to your flavor and embrace whatever movement is within your range. Let yourself lean into the music or beat. Sing in a little air with some bard craft if that helps you. As you move or imagine your movement, sense not only the internal space of the muscle, but the external space of atoms as they cut through air molecules. Again, as always, being able to still the internal monologue and silence the self so that witch can come through is going to be key. But meditation doesn't have to be done sitting still. In fact, the kinetic craft embraces the idea of finding that silence through movement. Dance also allows for so many crafts to be interwoven. Think color magic through ribbon dancing, sigil work, bard craft, even creating art with floor patterns and incorporating dance movement in water as well. For me, I have always loved to dance. As a kid, I had a low ground balance beam that I danced on for hours, creating movement pieces alongside my favorite musical cartoons. As I got older, I took some lessons, but never really pursued it as anything more than a casual hobby. However, I still love to dance, and on a spirit level, consider myself a dancer, even without the training, even without the full range of movement anymore. Dance to me is something that taps into the human spirit. We often forget because we become socialized to be nervous or embarrassed about our movement. It's not about whether you dance like Beyoncé or Elaine from Seinfeld. It's about finding that connection. For resources, it just depends where you are in your dance journey. If you feel comfortable getting groovy, then my tip or trick might be to start weaving it in more heavily into your craft, using it to raise or expend energy during spell and ritual work, not just connect. Now, if you are new to dancing and maybe feel a bit intimidated, I actually think The Fitness Marshal, they have a YouTube channel, is actually a really fun way to engage with the more sporty side of dancing. Because dancing is a sport, but it's also an art form and a big element of witchcraft from ages past. Now, as we have learned from ages past, witches dancing under the moonlight is a bit of an eyebrow raiser and may not be the safest thing in many communities, but turning on music and grooving in your living room is a fun way to spend a Friday night, and many a party and dance club. The energy of group movement is indeed potent, so if you can find a way to safely dance your craft under the moonlight, live that witchy good life.
Kinetic flow twists together three ways to keep fire in motion. From powerful strength to the warrior's heart and the graceful soul of dance, these paths bring your craft into the physical and root it into your body. With a blaze coursing through the veins, sports witch, warrior witch, and dance weaver bring in unique ways to craft your fire-based practice. And while some crafts may come more naturally than others, like all things, practice will always improve skill, even innate skill. That's why the elements are recurring themes across the witch's wheel cycles. It's a consistent building upon skill and relationship.
There are so many ways to lean into this aspect of a fire path, and hey, if these don't get you moving, stay tuned for more upcoming episodes. And water is just around the bend. Did you know Atomic Witchcraft isn't just a podcast? It's a community. You can find us on Patreon, Discord, Facebook, and more. We are also excited to announce the return of our free virtual Zoom gatherings, our Sunday Havens, happening on the fourth Sunday of every month at noon Pacific. All this great info can be found on our Linktree. Link is in the bio. Let's be witchy together.